Now, The Art of Deception with Tanya Moore on FUBAR Radio.
Hi, I'm Tanya Moore. I'm an actor, comedian, and your uncle's favourite secret pleasure. And this time, 2 years ago, I, along with most of Britain, was glued to my TV watching The Traitors. Now, even though I am 100% faithful, I know a few fellow comedians that would make incredible traitors. Now, I am on a mission to find out who. This is The Art of Deception. Through a series of challenges, I am going to test these liars to see if they can bluff convincingly, detect the truth, and ultimately lie their way to victory. Joining us this week as our star liars, we have two of the finest comedians in the world right now. Yes, I did say that, the world. We have Eddie Caddy, a brilliant stand-up, a presenter, and a music champion. His work has taken him from headlining the O2, selling out the O2, to touring with Lauryn Hill, and to recently starring as a contestant on Strictly Come Dancing. Also joining us this week is the wonderful Catherine Ryan, an internationally renowned comedian, Sunday Times best-selling author, and creator and star of Netflix's The Duchess. She also somehow has time to host her own hit podcast. Welcome to the show, guys. How are you both?
Thank you. Tell me, who's uncle?
Everyone's uncle. My uncle doesn't make it a secret, so much, actually. Yeah. He's out in the open
who's
about
uncle?
His admiration.
I'm just letting you know, it's everyone's uncle. I'm everyone's just saying, he hasn't told you.
My uncle's always running late. Is
he's
it
in
of
my DMs, babes. He's in my DMs. I met him when we did O2. Remember your dad was there?
Gosh,
and then I called your uncle and I was like, oh my God, she's so excited.
I remember saying to my uncle, she is called Congestion Charge. Not even after 6 p.m., uncle. Stay away.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that.
Uncle gets thrown around a lot. You use it for just single guys that you feel sad for and they sleep on your couch. You're like, go say goodnight to Uncle Michael.
He's not related to you.
Post
40, the wrong chat applied. Like, that uncle just spoke to me. That's it. It's done.
Wow. That's true, though.
Just happens.
So, Eddie, as I mentioned, you headlined the O2 and sold it out.
2013.
Yes.
2013 was something else. No, but yeah, that was a long time ago. But you know what? It was more of a, like, an audacious move, to be fair. At the time, you know, we were having fun. Every single event that we'd done at the time, me and my mates from university, who kind of created this vibe and continued with it past uni because we couldn't get proper jobs. We just kind of felt like, you know what? Let's just continue. And they were more audacious than me. They kept presenting these new ideas to me. And I think people turned up because they wanted to prove those people on television wrong, because I had all these reporters that journalists interviewed me and said I had gumption. That's the very first time I heard that word.
Oh.
I mean, English being my second language, gumption, I was like, what's that?
Yeah.
That feels very racist to me.
I'm glad you said it, Catherine.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm glad you said it.
Do you think you are?
It's taken me 14 years for someone to understand me.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you've come along.
I don't like that.
Yeah. Said gumption. I said, you want to deport me, you know? But yeah, seriously, it was that. And everyone at home was like, we will prove them wrong. People coming out of Tottenham, Catford, Lewisham.
I was there.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was a wonderful moment.
Yeah. And it was a brilliant show.
Thank you very much.
But you sold out the O2. That's wild.
You're looking at me like you want money from me now.
I mean, I do a little bit. Lend me a tenner. You went from selling out the O2 to touring with Lauryn Hill.
Yeah.
You don't do things by half, Eddie.
Yeah, but why? Why, Tanya? You never know where you're going to be deported.
So no, this, wait. This,
yeah, you can't. She can't relate. You can't relate. No. Yeah, you can't relate. You can't relate. But I'm just saying, you never know. So take every opportunity whilst you're in England.
What's it like working with a Fuji?
You know what? I'd done a couple of stuff with her prior to that. So a friend of mine basically said to me, Lauryn Hill wants to do something more with the diaspora. So I was like, yeah, sounds great. But then she was like, you're on the list of 10 comics that she wants. A lot of them Nigeria, Ghana and stuff like that. And then I was the only one that was outside of the continent. And she picked me the first time around. And then once we did that, it was in New York. And then after that, she kind of called back and wanted me to do something else. So we ended up at Radio City Music Hall. Again, that one I opened up for her and Common,
yep.
Crazy enough. And then she was like, do you want to come on tour? I was like, what? Of course. Yeah. With me and Nas, I said, hey. So we did a whole of the West Coast. And I just opened up as a stand-up. And somehow they got the jokes. But it was
that's
fun.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Not to admit, like, why? Lauryn Hill's already going to be Lauryn Hill. She was touring with Nas.
With Nas. That was enough. And also, those who came to see Lauryn Hill and Nas, and then they got this African, British, Congolese guy doing stand-up. They're like, what are you doing here? Yeah. But actually, it connected.
I was going to say, I'm sure you smashed.
I just said to them, I'm a fan just like you guys, so let's just warm up together, guys.
Yeah.
And to be fair, one of the nights in San Francisco, she then came and said, oh, by the way, after you, Dave Chappelle will do a thing. And I said, oh, thanks.
He said, I haven't heard of him.
Yeah. I was like, what's that? I said, up and coming, he's supposed to be before me.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was special. God bless her, man.
Jesus.
A really nice lady, down to earth. And she is. Really looked after us. There was a day she took us to Laser Quest. Just booked out this whole theme park place thing. And we're there, doing Laser Quest with Lauryn Hill. And it's just crazy. It was amazing.
So you sold out the O2. You go on tour with Lauryn Hill.
Yes.
And then you're like, do you know what? I think I'll just come back and do Strictly.
Oh, yeah. Dun, 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 dun. You know, that.
You said dun, 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 dun.
I think everything that I do, is kind of like just to say to my parents, see, it's working out.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Because for them, it's like my dad still doesn't, he still can't admit that I'm a comedian. Yeah. He says everything else. You know, he's a laughter engineer, but I can't say comedian. You know what I mean?
He's a laughter engineer.
Yeah, he's a doctor because, laughter is the best medicine. He'll say other things, but he won't say.
Doctor, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because you asked him, how do you spell comedian? C-L-O-W-N. Like, that's my father. He won't get over it. So I do these things because of just to let
you know it's going around. You probably love it. People say to comedians, I feel all the time, like, what haven't you done? What's on your bucket list? What do you want to do next? It's like, I always want to have a laugh and have a new experience and do something amazing if it's offered to me because I'm curious.
And it's laughter just opens doors, right? Everybody wants to laugh. And Strictly was, I love dancing.
Mm.
You know, I've always loved.
Did you feel like your privacy was totally out the window once you did that?
Do you know, a couple of guys that have done it before literally said to me, look out for those guys on them bikes. I said, what? Yeah, so they might follow you home.
Really?
Go through your trash and stuff. And I was like,
through your trash.
Yeah, and I'm like, boy, there's nothing to go through. A few rotten oxtails, and that's it, really. So good luck to them. But you do, because I think the first week, myself and my dance partner, Karen, who was amazing, really looked after me. I remember we finished dancing, because during the break, we'll just go and get, a latte or something. But Karen will always be matching. And if I used to, you nice jacket. And I'll be there wearing whatever, man. And then my sisters sent me a screenshot of me just chewing off a croissant while Karen's looking very that's when I knew it was time. And the thing is, you don't know where they are, because I'm like, I didn't see anybody. These they either rented someone's house or it's just witchcraft. I don't know what it is. they're just invincible. But you do a little bit, but I think also, it's all part of it.
Did they call anyone in your life, any ex-girlfriends, anyone from school, your dad?
No one told me if they called anybody. And I feel like but to be fair, I feel like with my family, the phone call, my mom would just be like, I'm not his mother. That's my mom. My mom would be that person.
I was a laughter engineer. I don't
who is that?
Meanwhile, your uncle's like, so.
Yeah. But you get a lot of information. A lot of information. People start offering this for me. He went to my school and did this and did that. He started seeing stuff on. But I stayed away from social media. Because the moment you read stuff about it, you won't sleep at night. But I'm not. But I enjoyed it. Strictly was like literally the best experience. Everybody, from the dancers all the way down to wardrobe. You saw my outfits, man.
Yeah.
How was the sex?
You did. Wait, Catherine, wait.
What? Catherine, that's why you do it. That's why you do it.
You mean on the dance floor?
Yes.
No, on the dance floor, you got to imagine, being sexy. But outside of that, my congestion charge on.
I'm moving on. Like, you are something else. But Catherine, you are on.
Let's not get into my biography because
babes,
we need to.
Sold out the O2. No. I'm doing the Cambridge Corn Exchange tonight.
No. Babe, no, wait. Because
has any corn to exchange?
You've got a new tour.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Could let me land.
Feel important now.
What do you mean?
Wait, hold on. Your tour is called what?
Let me land.
Remember. That's my tour.
What's it called?
Let Me Land.
Let Me Land.
Sorry, no, that's your tour. Sorry, I wasn't even
reading
the wrong thing.
Do you want to do my tour?
Yeah.
Is that what you...
No, I don't.
Just say how you feel.
I tell you the truth.
Will it not work if I do my own tour?
I tell you the truth. The truth is, in my ears, they were saying you got to move Eddie on. And I was trying to move Eddie on.
I don't think we need to
And
talk
I didn't
about
read it properly. And that's the truth. And I didn't go... So I didn't read it properly.
So basically, you wasn't trying to Let Me Land?
No, I wasn't. I want to keep you in the air.
I only want to hear from people who've opened for Lauryn Hill. People have a close friendship with Nas. Don't worry about me.
Kathy Ryan.
Kathy Ryan, we have to talk about you.
No, let's get on to the games.
You're bluffing.
I'm not here to promote anything. I'm late. I just wanted to see you. This is a double-edged sword of feminism. We're both quite busy now, and I don't get to see you unless it's, like, produced.
I know.
So, hi.
But hi. It's nice to see you. Just so everyone knows, I opened for Catherine on one of her tours.
Yeah, but am I Lauryn Hill? So nobody cares.
No!
But you're Catherine.
Of the comedy world, you're Lauryn Hill.
Thank you.
Let's break the format. Play the game.
Okay, we're going to play the game.
I don't care.
I want to know about the writing, man. You're an author. Do you know how big that is?
No, because they just talk. I did what we do on stage, but I put it on books, and then I just talked about myself. It's the same. It's just attention-seeking for literary way.
No.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
You know what she's doing,
Yeah. She's good at it, though.
But that's what superstars do.
It's Catherine Ryan.
Exactly.
Listen, I'm just glad she's in the building.
Me too. I'm
happy to start.
What a stress around Christmas time getting anywhere.
Babes.
I'm glad we're all in the building.
We're here.
Honestly.
London being an enemy of progress.
Let's crack on. So the
I
first...
can't wait to get deported.
Oh.
So you can afford to say that. you can afford to say that. My parents are like, she's cursing herself.
Babes. Listen, she said I can't wait, but then she goes to Canada.
Yeah.
So,
this is it.
It's not a bad place to go. Let's leave it there. All right, let's move on. Our first challenge is called When I Was a Youngster. Now, a good liar starts young. So this challenge is all about childhood deceit. The liars will both claim to have told three lies in their youth, but two of their stories will be completely made up. My job is to decipher the lie they actually told from the lies they were lying about. So, Eddie.
Yes, my dear.
What are your three lies?
Right. So, I'm not a big fan of fish.
What?
Yeah, don't really. I don't mind seafood, but you see, like fish, like
alive.
Yeah, that. Right, bones and not a big fan. Right. It's a long story. I don't want to get into it. I don't want to start crying. But anyway, when I was younger, my parents every 2 weeks would go to one of the biggest fish markets in this country called Billingsgate, in East London. And I absolutely hated it. They'll drag me out 5 a.m. Eddie, I'm going to buy some fish. Let's go. Because I'm the carrier, right? Yeah. I'm the slave. So we'll get there and they'll drag me through this mud of fish water, right? Which was just disgusting. So I had enough because I was just smell of fish. Didn't like it. Hated them on the way back home. So one day in school, I basically forged the school report from the nurse and said that they did a test on me and I'm allergic to fish.
Wow.
And gave it to my parents and they lapped it up. And I never, yeah. My mom actually said, we need to get a second test, but also we need to go to church and pray over this because nobody should be allergic to fish in our family.
Oh my
God. So I never didn't go to Billings ever again.
Okay.
They're going to hear this now and then realize.
That's the first lie.
Yeah.
What's the second lie?
So I, okay. This one is a bit. So basically, I love football. Used to play for 5-a-side football team. My best friend Henry was also on the team, right? So about 16 years old, and his older cousins, ravers, love going to. Like they used to tell us all these great stories about the nights. I was like, I wanted to go. Your parents will never let you go. Also, you're 16, but they were like, look, if you can make it out, we'll figure out. So I told my dad that we had a football tournament, and if we got to the final, we have to play on Saturday and Sunday. But I ended up going to my friend's house in Deptford, staying over there. Yeah, told his dad that my dad was cool with it. And literally, we did get to the final. Yeah. And we went to all types of raves, Hanover Grand, Coliseum, Coliseum in South London. And I remember being in the middle of Piccadilly Circus at 11 p.m. and my phone ringing. It was my dad. No. And my friend panicked. He said, give it to me. Ran around the corner and put on this voice. You all right, Mr. Caddy? How are you? Right, yeah, Eddie's in bed right now. we've taken all the boys' phone. And he goes, I don't probably hang up. And yeah, came back home on a Monday. And I said to my dad, we lost the final, since no trophy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. There's so much. Oh, you're so good at lying. What's lie number three?
Okay, lie number three. So I came home one day. Listen, okay, so I came home one day. On my way home, you with your friends, you muck about. I found these matches, right? And I just put it in my pocket. Got home, and basically, my dad found it. Yeah, and he was just like, what is this? What are you doing? right? So I was just alone. I just found it. He's like, ah, you are smoking weed. You are smoking cigarettes, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know. I thought, literally. But then I found it quite funny when he said he's going to go to my school and speak to my teachers about it. So the next day I told my teacher, Mr. Williams, to tell him that, yeah, you know, I've been smoking weed, or just for a laugh, just to see how my dad would react. Mr. Williams was a cool guy. We always used to bust jokes. And when my dad came there, literally said, yes, you know, we caught your son. He smokes weed. He sells weed in school. Literally. And let me tell you something, the slap I received in front of Mr. Williams, we took it too far.
Boy. Okay. All right. Now, Catherine, which one do you think is the real lie that he told?
I don't feel that Mr. Williams would have corroborated a lie like that.
Same.
I think it's too far for a teacher, even as a joke. And I also don't think that you would implicate yourself in something so egregious as to antagonize already quite an aggressive father.
I went to Henry Compton School, the worst school in Fulham.
Yeah, but then why do you want trouble? Why would you look
for just
trouble?
Fun. Yeah, I was a troubled kid.
Fun. You wanted to get slapped by your dad.
Yay. See how far we go.
We'll
just to see his
dad,
reaction.
You know,
what
did
there's that?
Yeah. Also, I question how you had a mobile phone in Piccadilly Circus at that age because I didn't have one.
Face off.
Ooh.
Face off.
What's face
off? Knock your face off. Remember that?
No.
8 to 10.
Yeah.
Although in Canada, like, we were a bit
ding,
behind
ding,
technology.
Ding, 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 ding. Do you remember that ringtone?
No.
Yeah. Yes.
What age were you in Piccadilly Circus?
16.
16? Yeah. I didn't have a phone yet at 16.
Whoa, unlucky you, darling.
How old are you?
I'm 42, mate.
What?
I had a phone at 14.
There
you
go.
Did?
The Motorola flip phone.
I was living in
an
igloo.
What area were you from? It's South London.
Newcross, yeah.
Yeah, South London has had phone from the age of 10. They needed
no,
it.
No, behave yourself.
They needed it.
But then also with the...
Mom, I'm safe.
With the fish, again.
Yeah.
You paint such a beautiful picture of your parents in so much of your work. I just don't know that they would have bought, like, without any symptoms, having been in the fish water, that you were allergic to fish. I think they'd be like, oh, well, that what you need to do is carry heavier fish.
You have to understand African parents, though.
I don't.
With their reaction. Listen, they don't even want to go. As soon as you could, I didn't even need the paperwork. And that was just to cement it. All I had to say is, I'm allergic to fish. And last night I had dreams that fish were biting me. Oh, God, my son, I can't have you dying. So.
And then they take you to church.
She was definitely going to take me. She started speaking in tongue there and then.
Well, that one feels true to me. The truest.
Yeah.
Is the fish story, I think. But I don't know. I've been tricked by many men.
See, now, I
allergic to latex, they say.
Catherine. I felt like the first one was the lie when he first told it because there was so much emotional connection.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he was like, now my parents are going to hear this and they're going to find out that I was lying. But then the second one feels real because that's something I would have done.
If you guys have such aggressive parents, why do you keep antagonizing them?
No, do you know what? I wouldn't use the word aggressive. They're just very, what's the word?
Cultured.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's art.
That was art. Like, if you only get slaps, you're lucky.
Yeah.
And not get beat.
Yeah.
It was just
to let you know who's boss every now and then. You know.
Yeah.
Like it's normal. It's, you know, the government, they slap us every day. Just remind us.
Behave yourself.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say the second lie is the real lie.
Okay.
Can you reveal which lie is the real lie?
The real lie is I definitely lied that we was going to a football tournament.
Oh, yes! Come on! It's what you do. You have to. Back then, your parents wouldn't let you go anywhere.
Listen, I had the time of my life. I think right at the end of when he asked, where is the loser's medal? I said that they're making it. They'll send it back. And I just felt like I looked at him and said, this boy.
Yeah.
But I had a great time. I would never change it.
No.
But to be fair, they did used to rush me to Billingsgate. I wish I could come up. Billingsgate Market, the meat market.
There was a lot of truth in that lie.
Yeah, they did. I wish I could, but you know, I was with them.
They wouldn't care. They would still give you fish. Yeah. Catherine, what are your three lies?
I forget.
Forget your lies.
Yeah. Okay, I used to come home with toys, sometimes from playgroup, toys, sometimes from friends' houses, little like garden accessories that I had found. Even a baby bird's egg at one time, which was very sad. It didn't make it. Put it under my lamp. Didn't hatch. But anyway, I would just come home with trinkets, little treasures that I found. I was, what your parents might say, a thief. And I told my mother, oh, these are presents. I got this from nursery for being such a good girl. I was given this at school because I did so well on my test. I would always say that they were gifts. And I got them from here, there, and everywhere because I deserved and earned them. And then my mom just was like, all right. After a while, I'd collected so much stuff.
Yeah.
She took it into the school and was like, Catherine says she keeps being given these things. And they were like, no, she's stolen all of that from wherever. The doctor's office, like waiting room, any.
Wow.
Anywhere. If I wanted something, I would take it and say it was a gift.
I love that. Okay. All right. Line number two.
At school one day, we were shown The Little Orphan Annie, the musical, made into a film and remade several times after that, but none as good as the first time. And I was so moved by the film. I loved the story. I still like musicals to this day. That after the film was shown, I told my teacher that it triggered me. I didn't have language like that. We didn't do therapy speak.
But I said, I was about to say.
Just holding space for the lyrics of tomorrow. I said, the film really upset me, you know, because I am an orphan. And she said, you are? I said, yeah, I was adopted and I was placed for adoption. And then I didn't have parents for a while. And I met my parents and like it just takes me back there. And I was a very creative child, and my teacher was like, oh, my gosh, we're sorry. And so my parents were called in to be like, we showed the children Annie. We were unaware that Catherine had been placed for adoption and was adopted. And she told us about an orphanage. Like, it seemed – we don't really have orphanages anymore in Canada. There's a lovely foster care system and things like that. But they were like, she told us about the orphanage and her experience, and she was really upset by the film. And my dad was like, no, no, absolutely not. Like, she's our biological child. She's never – been adopted. We don't know why she lied to you about that.
How did your dad react exactly?
Calm.
He just said, no.
He was just like, no, that's a lie because I was a liar.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And I was also very artistic, thief. Young. A liar, yeah. And a thief. Yeah.
I love this.
I know.
Okay.
It's oh, man. Third they all lie. Seem like so like you, though.
I know. That's the bit.
That's why it's easy for me to slip a lie of a lie in because I lie.
Okay.
The third one, I was at a birthday party and I didn't like birthday parties. Back then, you just drop your kids off. At a birthday, and then it'd be the wild, wild west. You're just in someone else's house with 40 kids running around, and parents didn't have to be nice then. And there were e-numbers and cake and treats and everything else. Now, parents have to stay at the birthday party and mind their own. So I was dropped off at this house that was bananas, and the mother, I remember being mean to us. We were only little. I don't know how old we would have been, like seven, young. And there were older girls kind of minding the birthday, and they were threatening us. Right. We had to be quiet during the movie. We're watching the Care Bears movie. We had to do this. We had to do that. And then the mom said if anybody made noise, she'd lock us in the closet. And I was so terrified of this family. Like, I did not like the family. And the daughter, whose name was Anastasia at the time, we went outside to play. And she, I remember, I could tell you her full name, but just in case.
Yeah, please.
Anastasia. We were playing outside. She was the birthday girl. And she was crazy, like her family was crazy. And she bit me through my snowsuit so hard that it made like a bruise through a snowsuit. And this is very Canadian details, but that's difficult to do.
Yeah.
We were playing a game of tag, like chase or something, but she just bit me. And then I spun around and I said, you're going to regret that because my uncle is Heavy D. And I don't know who Heavy, I know that, I think he might have just died. But he was a rapper, and he was semi-famous. He wasn't even, like, the most famous. No. But we got a lot of our television, Def Jam, comedy, and like, a lot of our from Detroit, because I'm from Sarnia, which is very close to Detroit. And for some reason, I had an awareness of who Heavy D was. And I don't know why. Like, as an elite reference.
You
know
about Heavy D?
Seven.
And how old were you? Seven?
Seven. I said, my uncle's Heavy D. And so you're going to regret this. And then everyone in the town, it started spreading in my small school. Like, Catherine's uncle is Heavy D.
Yeah, I love
and it gave
this.
Me some cred for a while, and people didn't bite me for a bit.
Why do I believe that?
Okay,
it's so weird. Why would I lie about it? It's so specific.
I'm so frustrated about the fact that I believe that more than any other.
But do you believe number three?
I'm telling you, because my daughter would say random names as well. And if, how do you know that name? Do you know, like so.
I think.
Do you guys know Heavy D?
No, I know of Heavy D.
Yeah,
well, not personally.
I think he might have passed.
He's my uncle too.
I need to search it up.
I feel like I believe
Heavy D passed.
Yeah, he did because I remember that being like, Heavy D, my uncle passed.
Yeah,
because of the lie I had told. Yeah, he died in November 2011.
Okay,
it's the anniversary.
See now, I believe the Amy story. It just feels so Catherine-esque.
Because. You might be a thief, but I don't think you went to the doctors and...
Any toy I wanted, Eddie. It was mine.
It's so hard. Okay,
she didn't even blink.
I know, that's the thing. She looks you in your eyes. Wait, what one do you? Are you going to go 1, 2, or 3?
I feel like it's 2.
I'm gonna. Okay. Oh. Since you've chosen 2, I'm gonna choose.
I feel like it's 2.
I'm gonna choose number 1.
But you were gonna choose 2. It is 2.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what? Yeah. I became your father. No. And that's why I asked you, because I can imagine your dad going, this is typical of her. Yeah. Don't mind her. I can imagine you still bringing toys back and stuff, and then you just doing the mad stuff like the heavy D stuff, and then going, this girl.
Yeah.
So the heavy D thing, though, the girl Anastasia who bit me, she said her uncle was heavy D.
Oh.
So it was pretty true. And everyone in the town was like, but her uncle's heavy D. And I think he was, but it's never.
A girl that would bite you like that, and yeah.
Yeah, her uncle is probably.
No, she'll make stuff up.
I think he was her uncle. I still believe it.
Really?
But anyway, yeah, I was motivated by. I saw Annie, I loved it, and I wanted to be just like her. And so I told everybody that I'd lived in an orphanage, which is, you know.
So, but do you want that because you want everyone to treat you like they treat you?
I wanted to emulate her story. I thought it was such a beautiful tale. And I thought, me too. The sun will come out tomorrow. I never stole anything.
That wasn't you.
I feel like I've heard that story before as well. I should have gone in
my little sister used to steal stuff a lot. 2 years old. Yeah, you leave the off license and then get home and it's just all these crisps and Snickers.
But like,
that was just a thing.
Didn't we all? Okay, let's move on. Coming up after the break, we are putting ChatGPT to the test and we'll see whose ego gets in the way of the truth.
The Art of Deception on FUBAR Radio with Tanya Moore.
Now, in today's world, it's hard to know what to trust. In Headline or Headlie, we are putting ChatGPT to the test to work out which of my guests is the best at spotting deception. In the headlines this week, leaders from all over the world attended the UN's COP29 climate conference. For today's challenge, I want you to tell me which of these is a real headline from this year's conference. So the first one is A, COP29 delegate says climate change is just a phase. B, fossil fuel CEOs agree to cut back on profits by 0.0001% over the next 50 years. And C, oil and gas are a gift from God, say COP29 host.
Oh, that threw me that last one. I thought that was going to be the one that made more sense. Man.
But the fossil fuel CEOs would never, agree to a cutback of 0.0.
Absolutely not.
No.
That's even a mockery.
Even over 50 years?
Especially not.
Yeah. That doesn't even... What was the first one?
The first one is the COP29 delegate says climate change is just a phase.
They wouldn't do that. What is going on? Who was in that meeting? Are you sure?
Who are the delegates? Do you know? Like, where do they come from? Because there could be some off-piste ones who are like, oil and gas are gifts from God. And by the way, they are.
They are.
Because they're in the world. Like, I agree, however.
Or it's one of those exaggerated headlines. So someone says... something almost like oil and gas is for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Why are we all, you know, sort of fighting over it? Everyone should have a right, and then they turn into that. So I'm gonna go with that.
You're gonna go with the C?
Yeah.
How about you?
Is real?
I don't know. He said
I'm going for C.
Oil and gas are a gift from God, say COP29 host.
I think that's a deceptive headline.
No, you think it's the real headline?
That's the real headline.
Yeah, I think it's real.
You think it's the real headline?
Because I agree.
But they would never say, they will say something along those lines and then it gets kind of, you know, blown up. Yeah.
Well, the answer.
Oh, goodness me.
Is C.
Yeah.
This was a headline thank from multiple God. UK news. You said, thank you, God.
Because it's a gift from God.
So like,
that's what you said, thank you after you've been gifted.
Can't argue with that.
What a good timing.
God bless.
Christmas.
This was a headline from multiple UK news outlets this week after the president of COP29's host country spoke in support of the use of fossil fuels. Mm. All right, well done. Look at you lot reading the news.
We've just been to church. Yeah, I was watching The Day of the Jackal, so that I didn't read it.
All right, we're going to move on to Call My Bluff. Now, I figured out that a big part of being a great liar is knowing when to lie.
Ooh.
This game, Call My Bluff, will challenge today's liars to live up to their brags. So, first of all, we've both done some acting. Catherine, you...
I'm not good at it.
You... No, why are you like this, Catherine? What's wrong with you?
That's what makes it so fantastic.
I just don't want to be cast in anything because it's a boring day.
Oh, my God, of doing the same thing over and over again.
And saying someone else's words. Don't you have an issue as a comedian?
You want to change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
At least.
I'm always in trouble for changing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do your thing.
Always. Yeah. I'm always like, but this is how I would say it. Yeah. And it's like, Tanya, you're not the character.
Right. Yeah, but if you know it best, like when Adam Deacon wrote the parking attendant role for me, I said that Uncle would not act like that.
Babes.
And I just turned it into a song.
You just did your own thing.
Yeah.
Because people don't know that you've done quite a bit of acting.
Yeah, but they cut out all the other scenes. No. So just ended up with a country CD sign. It's a double yellow light. That was it.
Okay, all right, wait. Yeah. Okay, so.
They did.
I'm done with both of you. So based on your experience, I'm going to give you both 10 seconds to tell me how many things you think you can name in the following category. So you've got 10 seconds to think about it, but then you've got unlimited time to name it. Okay. All right. The category is British sitcoms.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Okay.
All right, Eddie, you got 10 seconds to think about how long,
how many
you think you can name. God. Five.
Oh, God.
Three.
Oh, God.
Two.
Oh, no.
How many do you think you can name?
Oh, no.
Give me a number.
At the moment, I'm on five.
Okay, five is your number.
Five.
Okay.
Maybe four.
I'll go five with you, but I think I'm lower than five.
Do you think?
Yes.
We're going to have to play the game.
What constitutes as a sitcom?
Yo.
Oh, good question.
Great question.
We're going to find out when you start listing
all right,
them.
Okay.
Catherine, I'm going to give you the floor first. Go.
Only Fools and Horses.
Mm-hmm.
Friday Night Dinner.
Yeah.
I already thought of one that's gone. What's the one? Like Fawlty Towers. Does that count? I'm panicking. I really am.
Don't panic. You got time.
It's Coronation Street. No, that's a soap.
You said Coronation Street.
Is that a soap?
Yes.
Does that count?
No.
Situational comedy. Like All in the Family.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
My mind has been blank ever since.
See? And I did think of one, Early Doors. I don't watch that stuff.
Okay. Four? Are you resting with four?
Do you think of another one.
That's good.
British sitcoms. Like Catastrophe?
Yeah.
I love Catastrophe.
Wow, that's fantastic.
But then there are so many. And that's all I can have.
That's good. Five is the number.
Sorry, Tanya.
Don't be sorry.
That was brilliant because she said some of mine, so I can't repeat.
No, you can't repeat. You got to find six new ones.
I thought we were friends.
To win the game.
I didn't know the rules.
All right, so I'm just gonna
Okay, the floor is yours, Eddie.
Okay. Last of the Summer Wine.
Yeah.
Desmond's. Keeping Up Appearances.
Yeah.
This is where the mind starts to play games with you. Chef.
Go on.
Hello, hello.
Go on.
Oh, Dad's Army.
Yeah. Go on, you did it. Have you got more?
I'm shaking.
I've never seen you so vulnerable in my life.
No, because I'm a child again. And I keep hearing my dad saying, go to bed. Let me just finish this. Go to bed. There was this. Oh, you said Only Fools and Horses, which is my favorite ever. I'll stop at that.
Okay. How many did Eddie get, guys? Did he get
so
six?
Bad.
He got six. Do you know what I'm shocked that you didn't mention? French and Saunders.
Of course.
Yeah, but is that a
Absolutely Fabulous. They all start coming back now, isn't
it? Yeah, that was a sitcom, wasn't it?
What's that?
Absolutely Fabulous.
Yeah.
Ab Fab.
Yeah. Of course, it's a big sitcom. But it's nice now. I'm under no pressure.
Yeah.
Do you ever do those quiz shows for charity?
And
you watch them at home, and they're easy to play. And then when you're there,
your mind goes.
And then everyone at home starts abusing you.
Of course, you know nothing.
Yeah, and it's either to them.
You know
but
nothing.
When you're in the chair,
listen,
it's different.
They could ask you for your surname. I'll be like...
No, I know.
Hutchinson. Literally, yeah. Can you tell me others? Tanya, you remember?
I did. I said Fab.
Another two from you?
No, wait. What are you talking about? I'm the host. I got to move on.
That's a sitcom in itself.
I got to move on, babe.
The sitcom is on the decline. It is sad.
It is a little bit, which is really...
I was going to say, you said British, because I was going to start going to Frasier. Mork and Mindy.
Those are the ones that I watched growing up, though. Frasier, Cheers, Roseanne was wonderful.
Oh my God, there's a great story if you have time for it. And I can't corroborate this as being absolutely true. Could be a lie. But there were so many writers on Roseanne, and she was a stand-up, and she would get her friends in.
Yeah.
I forget who the guy is. Oh! Wait a minute. I'm just going to text my ex.
I'm screaming!
Listen, any reason.
He might be asleep.
Do you know, let me text mine to your ass just in case.
Wow! I love this. I'm just going to text my ex.
So there's a story about Roseanne.
Hey, you.
Hey, you up? He's in New York, so he might not be up. But anyway, he's a great guy. We're still friends. So this great comedian story that I hope I tell in the right way. But Roseanne would bring her friends in all the time to write on this hit show. And they used to have so much money, network TV. I mean, it was syndicated. It was like a huge, huge, huge show. And there'd be writers like in cupboards, like places of the buildings. And there'd be people employed for like 10 years who never did anything. And they brought this guy. They started to crack down a bit and be like, all right, like who's doing something, who's not?
Yeah.
So they said to this one guy, and I don't have his name, but hopefully I get it. Oh, here we go.
That's a great ex.
Oh, it's a secret though, he said. Can I?
He misses you because that response was mad.
Babes.
What?
No.
He got back to you within 10 seconds.
Yeah. I tell you, she must have her own ringtone because he woke up out of the sleep.
Yeah.
He said, I'm out of the sleep for this one.
Punani Dasani. Anyway, I know we don't have the water sponsorship. We've got to put the water on the floor. Yes, I can say it on the radio.
Okay,
his name is a badly kept secret. Allegedly, this writer is called David Tyrie.
Okay, I've heard of his name.
So they bring David Tyrie, allegedly, into this writer's room. And they're like, you know, we realized you haven't contributed for any storylines for like however long.
Yeah.
We need you to come up with a storyline. And then somebody goes, oh, no, I might need him to call in and say the story.
I love
so they go, okay, well, oh, yes. So someone has a storyline. They go, Roseanne's doing this, blah, blah, blah. This is happening. Jackie's doing that. What happens next? And he goes, who Jackie?
Oh.
And they go, Jackie, Roseanne's sister. And then the who, and he just didn't. That's how little he knew.
He's been getting paid, though.
He was there for like a decade. And then we look at what TV is doing now and how much money sitcoms have. There's no one in a cupboard anywhere coming out after 10 years being like, who Jackie? And so who Jackie? I have heard mentioned in other comedy things. And then I went backwards to be like, what is Who Jackie? And that's what Who Jackie refers to.
Because he didn't know.
That's a great way to get paid.
Babes. I'm sad I'm not here.
I want to be on a Who Jackie salary.
Me too.
Oh,
the Who Jackie salary is the dream. I didn't tell it that way.
That's the American dream, though.
Imagine not knowing one of the main characters of the show you're being paid to write.
Not knowing.
Anyway. All right. Let's move on. We've got more celebrity deceit on the way in just a few minutes' time after the break.
Trust no one except Tanya. The Art of Deception on FUBAR Radio.
We are going on to celebrity deceit. Now, unfortunately for us, these two are not only celebrities who can lie. In this quickfire quiz, I'm going to share a clip relating to a big celebrity deceit. And I want you to name the celebrity involved and, for an extra point, the scandal.
Oh.
Okay.
Go on.
Headphones on, my lovely.
Oh. I've been freeballing it this whole time.
Okay, so, the first clip.
Would you do it again?
You know, if I was racing in 2015, no, I wouldn't do it again. Because I don't think you have to do it again. If you take me back to 1995, when it was completely and totally pervasive, probably do it again.
Oh,
I think I know.
Oh, because Kat, you look like you know. Catherine looks like she doesn't know.
I've got this image in my head. Is it Lance Armstrong?
It is Lance Armstrong. And what was it?
He was.
It's like doping.
Doping to win.
Yes,
and
he lied
for many years, and then it came out, and yeah. But that interview was even weird.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, first of all, why are we having this conversation with you, bro? You're a loser. But then, like, asking him, would you do it again? Like, he would say, yeah, I'll do it again. But, yeah.
Yeah, Lance Armstrong. He lied about
it. That's the only person I can think of that would, that came out that done an interview.
I'm impressed that you knew that. I didn't know anything.
Yeah, no. No.
That came to mind, actually, because it was such a big story at the time.
Yes.
But then 1995 threw me. I was like, am I that old? Did that happen in 1995?
The fact, what is the 95? Some reason after, sir. A while back. It's a long time ago.
It's a big revelation of how old we actually are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot happened when we was young. A lot of bad things.
Mm. And they're still happening. We just don't know yet. All right, let's move on to clip two.
Oh, good Lord. We've all lied on our CV. I think she just needs to fix
up. It's not a question of lying on the CV, Nick. This is a case of deliberately misrepresenting your experience.
Oh, good Lord.
In politics, you get a pass, though. You're allowed to lie. In politics, they all lie. Yeah. That's Nick Ferrari. That would be like some political radio show, right?
Yeah.
What woman lied on her CV?
Do you know?
Been like...
Oh, something just...
Priti Patel or someone.
No, that was definitely... Oh, man.
Do you need it one more time?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Oh, good Lord. We've all lied on our CV. Oh. I think she just needs to fix
it's
up.
It's not a question of lying on the CV, Nick. This is a case of deliberately misrepresenting your experience.
Misrepresent your experience. Is that recent? Is that a recent story? A politician who... It's not the new leader of the...
You're on the way.
Yeah, Kemi Badenoch.
No.
No? Or someone lied about the fact that they weren't middle class or something like that.
They lied. Someone lied. Do you want to give it
they
to
me? They all lie. What are you talking about?
the Prime Minister.
That's what I said.
Was it the former Prime Minister?
No, it was Rachel Reeves, the Chancellor, lied about her experience on her CV.
To be fair, a lot of them, because the current leader, the Conservative, said she was middle class, and then one day she got a job at McDonald's, so she became working class for that summer. I think that's phenomenal. Okay.
I think it's funny that she went and did that. Okay, we're going to move on to our final clip.
Like
then the phone rings, I hear you, and the darkness is a clear view. You've come to rescue me. Though with you, I fall so fast.
All right.
Can you play it?
Did you like that song?
I loved every second of it.
Did you know who that is?
Yes, I do. Do you know?
I have no idea.
Have you ever heard such white nonsense?
Absolutely not. But this is the thing about songs like this. You can do all types. It put all my personalities out. The deported one, the accepted one. Everything came out.
I love that. Who was it?
That was Ashley Simpson, and she was lip syncing on Saturday Night Live, and the track played, but she didn't sing. She did a little jig to cover it up, and a lot of them do it, but this one went very viral.
Oh, no.
I know. It was a good time.
Oh, man.
It was a good time to be alive.
Hustle on, darling. Hustle on. Make it happen. That's a sitcom.
She's done well since, actually.
She has done well.
Her sister is Jessica Simpson. You know Jessica Simpson?
I know Jessica Simpson. Yeah. Sorry. She messed up then.
It's hard. We don't normally know the sibling.
No.
We know the first sibling, but we don't
Solange has done all right.
Solange has done all right.
Janet's done not bad. Considered it was like 17 other siblings before her.
Before the Nepo baby, there was the Nepo sibling. Yes.
There was the Nepo sibling. I've been watching documentaries on Beyonce and Solange, and they say Solange is the actual talent.
Yeah.
Let's not do that. I'm not getting involved in this conversation.
Okay.
They're both talented, but she's the true artiste.
I love honey. Don't like bees. Let's calm down.
Wow. But we've all got siblings. Yes. How do your siblings feel about you being celebrities?
Oh, I get those texts. What's up? Hey, bro, how's your day? You know what that means. So they're happy for me to be working.
Let me some money.
Yeah.
How does your sibling feel, Cameron?
I think they don't mind at all. Mm. No, I'm really close with my siblings. They do have little jobs within the Catherine Ryan Enterprise.
Come on.
You know what I mean?
Can you not put this bit out because you'll be giving out ideas?
No, because I...
My family WhatsApp group will start popping. Oh, Catherine has given her family some jobs.
I'm doing the same. It's little jobs, though. Yeah. Like, my brother wants to be my driver.
Oh, that's sweet.
Which I love, because I love spending time with him. We think the same about different things.
Do you know what? Actually, maybe they are who Jackie's, because I just give them money anyway.
There you are.
And they do nothing.
Yeah.
They're your who
Eddie?
Jackie?
Yeah. Who Eddie?
Who Eddie?
Who Eddie?
Who Eddie? Who Caddy?
You just didn't know.
I'm changing the family group chat. Who Caddy?
Who Caddy? Okay. All right, this is our final game, guys, and it's FUBAR's Fibber of the Week. We've nearly reached the end of today's show, but before we do, we need to crown the FUBAR Fibber of the Week. Now, listeners have been submitting their biggest lies they've ever told, and we are going to rank them. So I've got three lies here.
Right on.
From three different people, okay? So the first lie... The first lie is from Declan. Declan says, I was working in a pub in Cambridge and hated it. I really wanted to leave, but I was terrified of the landlord. I texted him one morning saying, something has happened back home and I've left Cambridge and won't be coming back, which would have been fine had I had not walked past him. Which would have been fine had I not had to walk past the pub every day to go to uni. To get around this, I had to walk an extra 20 minutes to walk a different route to go to uni to avoid being seen.
Oh, Declan. Right? You're a bit of a deck, aren't you?
That's so Cambridge.
I appreciate the thought about it. Like you've got to leave an extra 20 minutes earlier now because you can't go past the pub that you no longer want to work in.
Yeah, but after... Nah. Why are you scared of the landlord?
What's he going to do?
Yeah, what's he going to do? It's not Phil Mitchell. It's not,
it might be Phil Mitchell.
Unless it's a cool pub, a cool university pub where you want to drink.
Yeah, yes. And that's the only pub.
Yeah. Loads of places.
20. Don't know about that, Dex.
It's very British to lie about something like that. Like, get a life.
A pub lie.
Yeah.
But it made sense because he's in Cambridge, so that kind of tallies up, right? Okay, now we've got Emma. I was on a flight home after traveling, and a really good looking guy sat down next to me. We got chatting, and I told him I'd been teaching. I didn't say that I was on my gap year volunteering, but we were chatting and I just started lying. I told him I was a professor researching young people's education. At the end, he asked for my name so he could look up all the research I've been doing, and I gave him a fake name.
LinkedIn pictures?
The beauty is she never have to see him again.
Hi, my name is Rachel Reeves. Right. And then you go on the LinkedIn. I don't know.
Okay, our final lie is from Elle. Elle said, when I was a kid, I engraved Cool Cat into the arm of the sofa with a screwdriver whilst listening to Take That. I also engraved my initials, but I still said I hadn't done it when my parents found out.
Her own sofa at home.
Yeah.
Is she an only child?
I wish I knew.
I need to know, because then that lie becomes something. Because you're going to have to point someone else.
Yeah.
I didn't do it. Who else could it be?
But who engraves a sofa?
Depending on what Take That song you're listening to.
Not Cool Cat.
Cool Cat.
All right. Which of these are your most favorite and least favorite lies?
20 minutes extra. Come on, man.
I'm tempted to go with Declan, though, because... he feels like he's suffering the most.
But why then, you know what, to bring, randomly just bring up Take That, listening to Take That, that's very specific.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm going for that.
That's your favorite lie? That's your fibber of the week?
I don't think it's a good lie, Elle's lie, because
so wait, hold on.
Immediately caught out.
We're picking
out.
The lie.
You're picking the fibber of the week.
Oh, okay.
So your favorite fibber of the week.
All of this actually happened.
These actually happened. These people, who are these mad people?
I know.
What? Excuse me. What? We're going for the first one.
Declan. Yeah. You're Declan?
Oh, because my God.
Declan made changes to his lifestyle to back up his own lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas the girls are getting caught immediately. As soon as plain guy Googles the fake name, you're caught.
Yeah.
And as soon as mom and dad see your initials carved into the sofa, only child, you're caught.
Yeah.
They're all mad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Declan.
Declan's the maddest.
Is FUBAR's fibber of the week.
I actually can't believe it.
No. It was a lie that didn't need to be told, but once he told it.
But you're walking around 20. Oh, man.
Yeah.
What are you scared of?
It's Cambridge, babe.
You're a future leader of the country.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
That's very bloody true. And
change
with that,
the policies.
He's using
change the
money.
Landlord.
I can't believe.
His uncle probably owned the pub. Anyway, listen, I want to say thank you both.
Pleasure.
For coming out. That is the end of Art of Deception. And listen, I just want to say we've got two world-renowned comedians. Right here, right
but
now.
But one more than the other.
We'll
keep, and they keep lying.
We know about Eddie, but we know about Catherine. She just wouldn't share today.
I'm leaving here a mystery.
Listen, I think Wikipedia and Google is a big, big space.
Listen, we are here next week with more comedians and more stories. I'll see you then.